Today we're going to talk about USC professor John Strauss, who was at first put on administrative leave, then told he was barred from the campus of USC. He is a professor of economics. He is Jewish, and he raised his voice against Hamas and has effectively been canceled. Let's talk about it. Greetings, everybody. This is your host, Sophia Nelson, and welcome back to the Redefining Freedom podcast. This will be the last episode for the month of November, and we'll be in December and next week, and then we will be ending this year. Hard to believe 2023 is almost gone. It is most certainly a year that I will not miss. I'm not sure about you, but I am so looking forward to 2024 and am actively making preparations now for the kind of year I want, the kind of vibration I want to have, the kind of everything good that you can hope for, and really bring that to pass over the next year. And I hope that for all of you as well. But this is not my inspirational podcast. This is my political podcast, Redefining Freedom. And I want to get right to it today. And I want to talk about embattled University of Southern California economics professor John Strauss. Professor Strauss is a Jew. He is a longtime professor at USC, respected, honored by his colleagues across the academic spectrum for his work, a quiet man, but he is of the Jewish faith. And apparently he was walking across campus earlier this month, saw one of the protests that was anti-Israel and pro-Palestine slash Hamas, if one can believe that. And when asked his thoughts, got up and spoke very succinctly and very pointedly about his feelings on Hamas. And what he said was, and please Google me and fact check me so that you know I'm not making this up, he condemned Hamas in the strongest of terms. He said they were terrorists, that they were killers, and that they themselves should be killed. And then what happened next was something I know very well. He was, in this instance, not similar to myself, but in this instance, videoed his comments, taken apart, put on TikTok and other platforms, went viral. He was, of course, then notified that he was going to be put on leave, that he was banned from campus, and that that was going to be that. Ever since then, it has been a big battle. He has had to deal with online hate harassment, something I know well. He's had to deal with threats. And I want to talk about it because I am dismayed and appalled and shocked that in these United States of America, folks, freedom of speech is getting beat to hell. Like, we're in Alice in Wonderland here. We're through the looking glass. We've gone down the rabbit hole. Why would any university, and University of Southern California is it public or is it private? I'm not sure. The University of Southern California, I'm assuming, probably gets public funding as most schools do. And why would any university condemn, suspend, ban from campus one of its finest professors and academics, who is of the Jewish faith, at a time when Israel, the homeland of the Jews, was attacked without provocation, 1,200 of her citizens murdered in cold blood, sleeping in their beds, young people at concerts, babies murdered and allegedly beheaded, rape, brutal rape and assault of women, videoed by Hamas terrorists. And why would any university anywhere put this professor on trial for expressing his opinion that he has a right to in this country to express on a so-called free college campus where thought, ideas, dialogue is supposed to reign supreme, why would they punish him and not those defacing property, threatening the safety and security and mental well-being of Jewish students and faculty? What the hell are we doing? I'm passionate about this and I'm angry about this because I've lived it. And it is not something I would wish on my worst enemy. Only in my case, as we know, it was the tweet heard around the world over a comic book character and a question about Christian parents' rights to determine for their children what they should see and shouldn't see. And I had the audacity to ask a question and asking, how would they go about this? I was looking for dialogue. I'm looking for debate and engagement. I am a Christian. Very openly, there have been articles written about me for decades. I've been on the cover of magazines for my Christian faith and the way I try to live my life and show up as a light and do good and walk the talk. I'm human, I fail like we all do, but I try to really do my best to live out the tenets of my faith and practice them. As all Jews, Muslims, Christians, and even atheists, if you don't believe, that's okay too and should be respected and protected. And in asking a question about parental rights, which was clear political speech, on my Twitter feed, not on my college campus, not in the classroom, not at a forum, none of the above, I was on my Twitter feed expressing a political, really a question more than a belief. And in October of 2021, when I was the one under fire, Virginia was in the middle of a gubernatorial election where the candidate who is now governor of Virginia, Glenn Youngkin, ran on a parental rights platform that clearly had everything to do with why I asked the question that I asked. And what did I get? The university where I was, Christopher Newport University in Virginia, was a lot slicker than USC and some of the others. They didn't fire me, but they let faculty, it was never students, we have emails, we have video, we have text, we have things that are stunning from faculty letting me know you're about to be attacked. There are people here that don't like your point of view. They don't like that you're a Christian. They don't like that you've become a new scholar. They don't like that you seem to be someone who doesn't align with their viewpoint on LGBTQ plus issues. And it went downhill from there. It kept escalating, just as with Professor Strauss, just as with Professor Josephson and so many others who have been through this across this country. You express a point of view. You send a tweet. You say something that people don't agree with, and it's over. It's not a discussion. It's not a debate. It's not a dialogue. It's not a, well, let's engage on this, and let me tell you why I think you're wrong. Let me educate you, and then I'll shut up and listen, and then you can tell me why you think I'm wrong and educate me. That's not what we do. Now what we do is we take to social media. It's like a swarm of bees that swarm on you. Letters get sent to your home. People actually literally started to call every place I had ever spoken. Universities, trade associations. I had presidents of trade associations leaving messages telling me, Sophia, I'm concerned. We're getting threats about you over here that if we let you speak again. I mean, you can't make this up, folks. This is utter bullshit. This is not America. This is not free speech. This is not academic freedom. This is the mob having its way and university officials and administrators being cowards, either silent when they should speak or speaking when they need to shut the hell up and not talk. not shutting things down when they should, not stepping up and being a real leader. And the college president at CNU, who's a professed Christian himself so much that there is a chapel on a public university campus. He leads Bible studies. But when it came time to defend my religious freedom and my religious liberty, he took the side of the mob. Coward. Liar. Sycophant. Puppet. Those words come to mind. The same with Professor Strauss. Where is the leadership at the University of Southern California stepping up and saying, wait a minute, if this pro-Palestine / pro-Hamas gathering can express its viewpoint vehemently and passionately and to the top of their lungs, so then too can this professor who is Jewish have his viewpoint heard and be discussed and debated without consequence. I am over this consequence culture. It is destructive. It is bad for our young people. I, as you know, am someone who is in corporate America a lot. And I can tell you that I am getting inundated with calls from chief human resource officers, including now federal agencies of the federal government, who are deeply worried about the influx of Gen Y and Gen Z employees, millennials less so, definitely not Gen X and higher, baby boomers, who come into the workplace and have the same mentality that they have on the college campus about how to resolve conflict, how to deal with things they don't like or agree with, how to deal with fellow workers or leaders or managers that they don't share the same viewpoint on the world with. And it is causing conflict. People filing complaints against mentors and others who give them critical feedback and saying, well, it's because I'm gay, or it's because I'm black, or it's because I'm trans, or it's because I'm Jewish, or because I'm this, or because I'm that. We have got to do better on our college campuses with how we foster viewpoint diversity, because it matters. It is sacrosanct. It is fundamental to the First Amendment of the Constitution, particularly on public university campuses. But we've seen this at the Ivies. We've seen this at some of our most elite schools in the country, private schools. And it is a failure of leadership to foster dialogue. What should have happened on my campus is overreaction, this heckler's veto, which is a real problem. It's an overcorrection. You get, like in my case, this professor who is a most vile person. She didn't like something. She took it personal and she started a riot on campus. We've got the receipts on her. I've been quiet about my matter for the last 2 years because before I got to the place where I am now, for the last 18 months, unbeknownst to the public, we've been trying to negotiate a quiet settlement with the university and the state of Virginia. So up to this point, I haven't been able to talk about it. Because what was done to me was not only wrong, it was unlawful. It was illegal. It was unconstitutional. I was on a public university campus. So that raises the bar to a different level. As a black woman, I am also in a protected class of persons. The original protected class of persons. And so I speak about this with the passion that I do and the anger that I do because I know the damning effects that it can have on your life. And nobody's life should be ruined or affected or their livelihood damaged. Their reputation that they took 10, 20, 30 years to build destroyed because the mob didn't like something. And then what the mob does, as they did to Professor Strauss and many others, is they label him a xenophobe, a racist, a bigot. Are you kidding me? This man is a Jew. Jews are under attack in this country in a way I never thought I would see in my lifetime. I am appalled. I stand in solidarity with my Jewish brothers and sisters. And yes, of course, I have sympathy and empathy and humanity for innocent life being destroyed by Israel's rightful right to defend herself and avenge the war that was declared on Israel unprovoked on October 7th. Facts matter. Facts matter. Facts matter. You cannot go into the workplace and bring your political grievances and your dislikes of people's thoughts, their faith, their views, their lifestyles, and use that as a weapon to incite others, get petitions, call for people to be removed, then there's counter petitions. Then these groups get in, like the Academic Freedom Alliance, who I've worked with, and FIRE, who I've worked with, and others. And then you have a free-for-all on your college campus. Instead of what you should have, what leaders should do, what President Tribble should have done in my case was say, hey, the buck stops with me. And I am going to call a meeting on this campus. And when Professor Nelson is here next, and when we can all gather, we will do so. I will lead the discussion. Each side will have an opportunity to talk about how they feel, what they were trying to express, what matters, why they were upset by this, and how we go forward. That's how you lead on a college campus. That's how you teach emotional intelligence to the next generation of leaders. We are failing these young people when we allow them to get in their feelings, incited by faculty members who should know better, who manipulate and use them, who get on telephone calls with groups and outside influences to get the instruction playbook on how to destroy somebody's career and ruin and lie about them. I am not in any way, shape, or form homophobic. I'm just not. Do I have views that are based on my faith about those things? Yes, I do. The Catholic Church is having this problem right now. A bishop was relieved by the Pope because that bishop stood on the doctrine of his church that's over 2,000 years old and said, I'm going to adhere to doctrine. So I'm not going to embrace this lifestyle or this set of values now because it's anathema to my faith and the tenets and the oath that I took as a bishop of the church. You can't have it both ways, folks. Either free speech is free for all of us or it's only for some of us, and then we react to the mob instead of responding thoughtfully as we should with dialogue. We have to teach our young people how to have courageous conversations. We have to teach them how to get out of their feelings and think. Don't say, this is how I feel. Say, this is what I think about what you said or about how I perceived what you said or what you did. Help me understand. That's the kind of language that moves us forward. Not violence. Jewish students not able to go to the cafeteria, come out of their dorm rooms. That is not right. That is not right in America. It should not happen here. It may happen in other places, but it should never happen here. I wanted to do this podcast because I stand in solidarity with Professor Strauss. I've outreached to him, let him know I support him. And if I can be of help, I'm in. You will be hearing more about my matter in the new year. And that's all I can say about it right now. But I will tell you that I am passionately committed to redefining how we discuss freedom in this country. Who has it? Who doesn't? Why it matters? How we go forward into this next generation, the next 100 years of America. If this is a screenshot, snapshot of what we're going to look like, We're in trouble. You've got to respect others the same way you want to be respected. Calling everything hate negates what true hate is. True hate is Jewish students being threatened and having to hide in closets on campus and having posters torn down and defaced and horrid things shouted at them. That's hate. That's unsafe. Not because I sent a damn tweet and you didn't like it and you said it made you unsafe. That is a lie. It is a manipulation. It is untrue and it needs to stop. The Supreme Court has spoken clearly in this past year on free speech. Religious liberty, the Kennedy case, and the 303 Creative case with respect to business owners and what they have to comply with or not when it comes to their faith and their First Amendment rights, beliefs, etc. The Supreme Court has been clear, folks. You cannot, on a public university campus, in a public government job, etc., elevate one form of speech through the heckler's veto and suppress another. You can't do it. It's unconstitutional. It was done to me. Christopher Newport University is a liar. Every time they try to say that they tried to give me equal time and whatever, and I didn't want it, they're liars. The emails are there. The documents are there. They know I have the receipts. They continue to try to lie and make excuses for their unconscionable conduct. Facts matter. Facts matter a lot. You can't put my physical and emotional safety in jeopardy because you've got a mob running wild and you're holding forums every other day about me in my absence where people are attacking me, calling me names, and you foster this and you allow it and people are sending me videos of it unbeknownst to you, your own faculty. Your own faculty calling me because they're concerned to the point that they're reaching to outside groups, even the state Republican Party. They see it. But you want to cower to the mob, to the heckler's veto, and you don't stop to think about the person's life you're putting in jeopardy on that campus, their career, because now the media's on campus. Now the media's covering it. Now a person who was just living their life like a Professor Strauss, a little bit different from me because I'm a public figure, a public person. But the reality is, then it begins to have this trickle effect. If I told you the number of contracts that got canceled, the columns that got canceled, the abuse I took from other groups and organizations that I had been with for years, not because of what I said, but because of the fallout of it. Nobody wants to be associated with you when you are at the center of attention in a negative way, being called a homophobe. I even got called an anti-Semite. I still don't know how that happened. And I don't know if the comic book character was supposed to be of the Jewish faith. I don't think so. I don't think Superman is. But you get my point, right? The lie begins to go into a bigger lie. They call you one name, then it's another name, then it's another name. And it's like a rabid dog that's wild, out of control, that just won't stop until they've completely ripped you to shreds and destroyed you. People telling me I deserve to lose everything. I should die. Letters sent to my home. But somehow this is where we are. And somehow this has become acceptable. And somehow this has become the norm. Folks, this is not normal. And you think it's funny until it happens to you or your child or someone you know. And then all of a sudden it's not funny anymore. I'm going to wrap with this. Great job, Academic Freedom Alliance, on your statement that you put out for Professor Strauss. You hit it out the park. We have got to do something about the condition of our college campuses, period. We have got to get back to rational, reasonable debate in the academy, even when it's uncomfortable. We all know what hate looks like. If you say These niggers shouldn't be allowed in here. We know that's hate. If you say these Jews should be annihilated and sent into the sea, we know what that is. That's hate. If you say LGBTQ people shouldn't walk this earth, they're a scourge. We know what that is. That's hate. This isn't hard. This isn't something we have to dig deep and really think about. If it walks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, folks, it's a duck. What's not hate speech is when I have a different opinion. What is not hate speech is when I say the tenets of my faith teach me this and I adhere to this. The Christian faith, like the Jewish faith, and very much so the Muslim faith, are all very clear about marriage between male and female. There's not one of them that doesn't have the same agreement on that. So why then is one of the people who worships as a Muslim or a Jew as a Christian then considered a pariah or a monster or a hater or a racist or a homophobe? Because they adhere to those tenets of their faith. I've said this before. The best assistant I ever had, admin assistant, who I would love to have back, ran into him in the grocery store a few months ago, was a gay man married to another man. He knew my viewpoint on this. I knew his lifestyle. None of that mattered to either one of us. We had work to do. We worked well together. I think he's a fabulous person. And when I was sick, he made me the most amazing soup. A recipe that his partner's family had had in their family for years and brought it to my home, and it made me feel better. One of my other very dear friends who did a lot of work on my early books, he and his partner were at my 50th birthday party, welcomed, loved by everybody, and there was 90% of the people in that room were Christian believers. What's my point? My point is you got to stop lying on people and you got to stop painting people with this broad brush as if they are haters and bigots and all these other names that you call us, because we took a stand on something. We asked a civil question. You don't get to ruin people's lives and livelihoods because you felt like it, because then you are going to have to face the consequences of your actions. And that's what's happening in this country. Lawsuits being filed by groups like ADF and others almost weekly. And they're winning or they're settling. Universities will get a grip when they start becoming the victims of lawsuits. Big ones, multi-million dollar ones. And they start seeing that the federal court systems and in some cases the state court systems adjudicate those lawsuits in the favor of the plaintiffs. Is that what we've turned into now? Our college campuses are going to be places of litigation? I know I did everything in my power to avoid having to take that step. And again, I can't get into that now, only to say that my conscience is clear. I did all I could. Sometimes you can't come to an agreement. Sometimes you can't get it worked out, because principles matter. Truth matters, and light being shined on things like this matters. So Professor Strauss, hang in there. You have a lot of support. You have a lot of love. You said nothing wrong. Hamas is a group of terrorists, murderous, rapist thugs, period, full stop. There's no equivocating. I'm not going to back down. I'm not going to change my mind. They've been designated by this, by the world's leading governments and humanitarian organizations and otherwise. So what is the problem with what the man said? There isn't a problem. The school cowered to the heckler's veto. Those of you out there passing judgment with your little comments about, oh, he deserved it and da-da-da-da-da, you have no idea what you're talking about. This man is entitled to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness just like everybody else. He's entitled to his opinion like everybody else. He's entitled to defend his faith and his people, as are those groups doing the protesting. You get the point? In America, it's freedom for all, as Dr. King talked about, or it's really freedom for none. And we got to make a decision on our university campuses where we're going to go. I want to be a part of that dialogue, a part of that movement, and I plan to be. News coming in January. God bless you. Happy Thanksgiving weekend. We'll talk to you again in December before the holidays. And if you need a little inspiration, a little aspiration for how to get to your next year now, go over to the Be The One You Need podcast and pick up a copy of the book. It's a great read over the holidays as you get ready for your new year. God bless you guys. Bye-bye now.